unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, that's 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. You don't want to call the show, but you want to hit me up with your rants, you can do so on Get Serious. Just go to SiriusXM.com/Get Serious to leave a voicemail message. That's SiriusXM.com/Get Serious to leave a voicemail message. I'm going to get into a conversation today about three different categories. I want to talk about the best team in football in the National Football League. I want to talk about the best team in the NBA, or some of the best teams in the NBA. And I want to talk a little boxing, too, because of Jake Paul, Anthony Joshua, and get into a broader conversation about the sport of boxing, because it's something that I love and I love talking about. So anytime that I get an opportunity to do that, I certainly want to do that with Jake Paul and Anthony Joshua scheduled to fight next month. You know, I'm fascinated by what potentially may transpire as it pertains to that fight. And I'm looking forward to talking about all three things. First order of business is the National Football League, because the 49ers, a team that is not the best team in the National Football League, still improved to 8-4 following their victory over the Carolina Panthers last night. And Christian McCaffrey did his thing, as he usually does, 142 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown, you know, leading San Francisco to a 20-9 victory over the Carolina Panthers. Okay, Bryce Young was not impressive last night. We all know this. He struggled, and we understand that. But nevertheless, 62% completion, 169 yards, a touchdown pass, two interceptions, a 60.8 passer rating, the second young interception in the fourth quarter, and the Carolina's final scoring chance. We all know this. But in the end, the bottom line is at 6-6. The Carolina Panthers are in the mix in the NFC South, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, without Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin just getting back, with Bucky Irvin being out, what have you, they're just not the same team. We all know that. And now Baker Mayfield hurt his left shoulder, so who knows how long he's going to be out. Tampa Bay is disintegrating before our very eyes, primarily due to injury, only a half game ahead of the Carolina Panthers in the NFC South. The story, one could easily argue, is the NFC West. On one hand, you're looking at the San Francisco 49ers, and you're saying 8-4, they're in the mix. But they're still behind the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks, who I believe to be the top two teams in the NFC and arguably the entire National Football League. Now, the San Francisco 49ers are only a half game back of the Seahawks, and obviously they're two games back of the Rams. We got to look at the 49ers, and we got to give respect where respect is due, because when Brock Purdy was down, Mac Jones came in, and they were winning games with him. Brock Purdy comes back, they're still winning games. But let's pay attention to something here. He's been back for four games. He's thrown seven interceptions. He's got eight touchdowns. I mean, you're just looking at it right now, you're saying to yourself, what the hell is going on? This is not the Brock Purdy you expected to see. Last night, 72% completion, 193 yards, 6 yards per attempt, one TD, three interceptions on three straight drives in the first half. No sacks, 58.5 pass rating. Those are not things you expect to see from Brock Purdy. All three interceptions came on deep passes, 20-plus air yards. There was a lot of air under those balls. Nothing was zipped. This didn't seem to have that velocity that you would expect or you would hope that he would have. And that's going to be a problem for San Francisco as far as I'm concerned, particularly when you're talking about them going up against a Seattle or a Los Angeles down the line, okay? That's how I look at it. Now, again, Brock Purdy, 49ers have won three of his four starts, but he's got seven interceptions and eight touchdown passes, has a career-worst 5.3 interception percentage, double his previous high, okay? And Kyle Shanahan, who's taking you to four NFC championship game and two Super Bowl appearances in his 7 years as head coach for the San Francisco 49ers, is looking at it and he's saying there's not really a cause for concern. I beg to differ. They don't have Nick Bosa. They don't have Warner anywhere. They don't have Fred Warner anymore. Okay, so you don't have your two best defensive players. And as a wideout, Deebo Samuel is gone. You shipped him off to Washington. Okay, and Brandon Ayuk has been out since last season. He hasn't played all season this year yet. Remember, he's tore his ACL, his MCL, and meniscus in October of 2024 last year. And so if you're the 49ers, you know, you're bereft of bodies. And I look at them and I say, I respect them, I like them, but what are my expectations for them when I scour the NFC? So let's scour the NFC. Let's call it what it is. Right now at 5-5-1, you can make a legitimate argument that the Dallas Cowboys look like a top three team in the NFC. Forget their record. We know they're at 10th right now. We know if the players were to begin today, they wouldn't be in it. We understand that. But this defense is not the defense that it was. This defense is not the defense that it was earlier in the season. The acquisition of Quinnen Williams has been a godsend for the Dallas Cowboys. We just got to keep it a buck. This brother's got a sack and a half. He had like 8 to 10 quarterback pressures. Okay, they've only given up 90 yards rushing in the last two games when everybody was running roughshod over them the first half of the season. And so right now, it does beg the question, as we sit here and we scour the NFC, Green Bay is a team that I'm looking at because we all know that Jordan Love can ball, but we don't know when he's going to show up to ball as pressure mounts. Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary and those boys defensively are no joke. We got that part. And we know that Micah Parsons is a man. But that doesn't mean that when all is said and done, it's not starting to look like Jerry Jones might have flipped something on us. Dallas looking better defensively without Micah Parsons. I mean, I know that's almost sacrilegious to say, but it's the truth. At least over the last two games. Now, I'm not even counting the real Raiders game, but against the Eagles, to be up 21-0, to be down 21-0 rather, and to come back and to win that game, the Eagles were up 21-0 with 11:30 left in the first half and didn't score another point. Didn't score another point. Had about 8 possessions. 5 of them were punts. I mean, Dallas put them under lock and key. A.J. Brown had 5 receptions on 6 targets for about almost 70 yards and a touchdown in the first quarter. Had 3 receptions the rest of the game. Devontae Smith held to 1 reception. Saquon Barkley held to about 3 yards a carry. Can't get nothing. Yo, what are we looking at? This is the Dallas Cowboys defense. This is what we're looking at. And we know what they bring to the table offensively. I can't even hate on George Pickens, who's a stud, who is flat out balling. And let's call it what it is. He's got a better quarterback throwing them the football. When he was in Pittsburgh all of these years, he didn't have a damn quarterback. That's why he was petulant. That's why he was frustrated, because he knew his brothers were costing them money. And so the Steelers ultimately shipped him off. He becomes a Dallas Cowboy. Now he's in line to get paid because George Pickens has emerged as arguably, and I'm not sure it's arguable, top 5 receiver in the game. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that he's actually looking better than CeeDee Lamb right now? Now, I got faith in CeeDee Lamb. I'm not throwing no shade on him, but he can't be dropping passes like this. He's dropped a few passes. He's going to have to do a better job catching the football. No doubt about it. And I believe he will. I love CeeDee Lamb. But George Pickens right now, one could easily argue, is looking like the best receiver on the Dallas Cowboys and a top 5 receiver in football. Right now, I think he's 2nd in yards compared to Njigba for Seattle. So I'm just looking at the Dallas Cowboys right now, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Since the Dallas Cowboys traded for defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, they've allowed just 90 total rushing yards on 30 carries over the last two games against the Raiders and the Eagles. They've also had 5 sacks in the last two games. Now they've got an outside shot at the playoffs. Since Quinnen Williams has been acquired by the Dallas Cowboys in their trade deadline acquisition, he's got 13 quarterback pressures, 6 quarterback hits, and a sack and a half in 2 games with the Cowboys. In 2 games. Now, you still got a concern with Guyton at the left tackle spot. We all know that. He's got an ankle injury that'll keep him out of Thursday's game against the Chiefs and possibly longer. We know that. But I'm just looking at this right here. And the Cowboys on the outside looking in, could they catch the Carolina Panthers? Sure. If the Packers and the Lions and the Bears all got to go up against one another and somebody's going to beat up on one another, that's fine too. Here's the difference. The Cowboys tied with the Packers, who's got them by 2 games. But the Bears beat them. and they got Cowboys by 3 games or 2.5 games, and one could easily say, listen, you ain't catching the Chicago Bears because that's too much to overcome. Cowboys got the Chiefs on Thanksgiving, then they're at Detroit, Vikings, Chargers, Washington, and Giants on the road at Washington and Giants to end the season. I think the Cowboys could win 5 of these next 6 games. They'd go 5-1. So I got them at 10-6-1 at the end of the season. Is that going to get you into the playoffs? I don't know. But it's possible. It's likely it could happen. Pickens right now, 1,054 receiving yards. Second to Jackson Smith and Jigba. Career high, 8 touchdown catches. Third in the NFL. 15.7 yards per reception. Fifth in the NFL based on a minimum of 25 catches. Pickens at 95.8 and CeeDee Lamb at 79.0 are the only teammates averaging at least 75 receiving yards per game. This is the best duo in football. You're looking at T. Higgins with Ja'Marr Chase. Once upon a time, we looked at Tyreek Hill and Waddle, and that's no longer the case with Tyreek Hill being out and Miami sticking up to join half the time. But right now, as we look at it, the Cowboys are in the mix. Philadelphia Eagles, on the other hand, they're the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. Where was their offense? What happened? Everybody been bloviating about it, going off about it, saying this ain't going to work. A.J. Brown, y'all going to criticize him now? Or are we going to stand down and say A.J. Brown was right? A.J. Brown, that sound. Remember that sound from weeks ago, Sean, that we still have that when he's talking about, hey, listen, that was last season. This is a couple of weeks ago. This is a couple of weeks ago. A.J. Brown said it. He warned everybody. All the reporters in front of his face. All the reporters sitting in front of his locker. All the reporters talking to him. He said it to their face. He said it to their face. Now look at him. Now look at what we're talking about here. What are we going to say now? What are we going to say now? This is A.J. Brown. This is about nearly 3 weeks ago. This was what A.J. Brown, the star wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, was saying to all of us. Listen up.
It's not just solely about my situation. I mean, guys, like, obviously I want to win too, you know? And I think if we're really focusing on winning and doing our job, like, we can't just keep slapping the Band-Aid over the defense doing their job and getting us out of trouble. It's, at what point are we going to pick up our slack as an offense that we're say we're so great, you know? And that's what I'm getting at. I don't care if I'm misunderstood. Like, I stand up in front of it and fall on that sword over and over again, like, it's about doing what we're supposed to be doing on offense. And if we are really in this business, we're trying to get better, we got to do what we got to do. And not just say, oh, it's about wins. So like, as long as we got the win, it's cool. No, that ain't what you cannot do that. Not in this league.
Amen. Amen. Who's going to talk about him now? Who's going to talk about him now? Because he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Everybody that watches football, experts who know football, all talk about how predictable the Philadelphia Eagles offense is. They talk about their route running. They talk about what they do schematically. They talk about how everything, when all else fails, it comes down to one-on-one ability. No. They talk about lack of movement, nothing that fools or intrigues an opposing defense. They talk about all of these things. This is what they say. And everybody shoved it aside. Are you doing that now? Are you doing that now? This is about repeating the Super Bowl champions. This is about doing what it takes. And let me tell you who we're not going to point the finger at. We're not going to point the finger at Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman did his job, Nick Sirianni. He did his job because before the trading deadline, seeing the Eagles' weaknesses, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, he went out and he got some pieces, including Jalen Phillips from Miami. And the Eagles' defense looked considerably better. It's the offense that's been the problem. And it damn sure ain't because of personnel. Outside of Lane Johnson being out, which is a big, big loss for the Eagles' offensive line. Outside of that, brother, because you usually win games when he's in the lineup and you don't win him when he's not. What are you going to do? All of these things. Jalen Hurts is a Super Bowl champion. He's a Super Bowl MVP. And he deserves his money. He deserves our respect. But when we're watching the Eagles' offense look relatively pedestrian, what are we supposed to say? Right now, the reality is, looking at the Eagles, especially in light of what happens to them against Dallas, are you sure they beat Dallas in the playoffs? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure they'd beat Detroit in the playoffs? Are you sure they'd beat Green Bay? Do you really think they'd beat Los Angeles or Seattle? Especially L.A. with the way Matthew Stafford is playing. Because I don't know if y'all have noticed tonight. He's 37 years old, supposedly with a bad back. Matthew Stafford has 30 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on the season. Matthew Stafford is the league MVP right now. If the votes were to come in today, Matthew Stafford is the league MVP. Matthew Stafford is also a Super Bowl champion. Matthew Stafford is a dude who, if he leads the Rams to another Super Bowl, first of all, he's definitely going to the Hall of Fame. He should be in the conversation as one of the great quarterbacks of this generation. Because go from the year 2000 on, even all of those 12 years that he was in Detroit, you know my favorite saying, don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. We watched this brother, Matthew Stafford, in Detroit for 12 years. And when they stunk up the joint and couldn't win a damn playoff game on a rare occasion they got there, we never thought it was Matthew Stafford. It was never because of him. It was an organizational meltdown, which is why we rave about Dan Campbell and the metamorphosis that has taken place and how the culture change that he's implemented has really, really helped put Detroit Lions on the map. All right? Got Eminem showing up to games. They weren't worthy in the past. They're worthy now. It wasn't Matthew Stafford's fault. And as we look at Matthew Stafford now, quarterback in this team, to me, the most impressed I've ever been with him was a loss. It was when he showed up in the playoffs playing in Southern California throughout the year as a member of the Los Angeles Rams and went to Philadelphia in a blizzard last year. And they almost won that game. That's the toughest game the Eagles had. Certainly Green Bay wasn't tough after the way they dealt with Jordan Love. The Commanders wasn't tough in the NFC Championship game when they dropped 55 on them. And the damn sure Super Bowl wasn't tough against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. The toughest game was the Los Angeles Rams. And Matthew Stafford was leading the way. And now you got Puka Nacua. And now you got Devontae Adams. And now you got Kyren Williams again. And you got a defense that's real with verse in these brothers. They ain't playing. These cats come for you. Los Angeles defense is no joke. Sean McVay is just a hell of a coach. He really is. He's something special. But when it comes to the Eagles, Howie Roseman did his job. He got the Eagles the personnel. Nick Sirianni and his novice of an offensive coordinator is the problem with the Philadelphia Eagles right now. A.J. Brown was right. A.J. Brown was right. And that's what we got to say. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens and how things unfold. There's a lot of stuff to deal with within the NFC conference. The AFC is interesting too, no doubt about it, because I think Houston's coming. I saw what Houston did against Buffalo. I know Buffalo ain't that great because, you know, first of all, why are you sitting down Keon Coleman if you McDermott? If you coach McDermott, why? I mean, you were already, the organization didn't do any favors for Josh Allen before the trading deadline because you didn't get him the help he need by getting him another wideout, all right? He came into the season bereft with talent from the wideout position, and as a result, he got to play hero ball, so he's starting to make the kind of mistake that he made a couple of years ago. The Bills only committed 8 turnovers last year. This year, they got 9 turnovers in the last 3 games, more turnovers in the last 3 games than they've had the entire last season. Patriots are the team to beat in the AFC East now with Vrabel coaching them. Ravens done caught the Steelers, and I'm here to predict that the way the Colts are looking and how the word is out, just load the box and make sure you stop Jonathan Taylor and force Daniel Jones to beat you. I think the word is out on the Colts. That's how everybody's thinking. And you don't really have faith in a haphazard squad that is Jacksonville. Yeah, they could beat anybody and they could lose to anybody. Texans with Anderson and Hunter and those boys, Lord have mercy. I ain't seen a defense like that in a long time. These boys come for you. C.J. Stroud come back after his 3-game absence from concussion, and this brother shows up and he's ready to go. Look the hell out. Houston is no joke. Something to watch out for. And, of course, we got Denver, L.A., and Kansas City in the AFC West. Things are getting very interesting. No doubt about it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I'm going to talk my NFL. I'm going to talk my NBA basketball. I'm going to talk a little boxing, too, because I got some things on my mind I just want to express. So I'm going to use this opportunity to express it because it's Mad Dog Sports Radio, baby. It's a perfect place to do it. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Your calls and more coming up in a minute.